Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Today's message is entitled Affirming Our Faith. Affirming Our Faith. Someone says, well, what does affirming mean exactly? Well, according to the Webster's World Book Encyclopedia, affirming means to present as fixed, to say positively, to declare firmly, and assert to be true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I assert the Lord to be true today and forever. That God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm here today to encourage. How many know we need encouragement today? I think it's a good idea that Frida doesn't have the television because there isn't much good news out there, is there? I don't know if I... There's days I don't want to turn it on, but you know what? I have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. And I've received him as my Lord and Savior, but that's just the start. Now he's making me a disciple. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm here to encourage you, body of believers, in the truth that we have come to know and to love. Amen. It's our lifestyle. It's how we live, you know. We are what we preach. I can't get up here and say keep the Sabbath and dietary laws and things like that if I'm not doing it myself. If I am, I'm like a Pharisee. I'm hypocritical and saying one thing and doing another. And God help me. I know I fall at times, but I'm constantly looking up. Amen. Constantly trying to strive to gain the prize that is set before me. Amen. That's what we're all doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything good comes down from God. You know, in us there is no good. Amen. Everything we have come to believe has come from Yahweh, Father God, drawing us to Yeshua. Turn to John 6, please. John 6. I'm going to use the Amplified version just for this old folk so we can hear. Now, the Amplified has a lot of extra superlatives that are really good in this case, and I decided to use the Amplified because it does just that. It amplifies some of the adjectives, and we need to know what every word of God says. Amen? Amen. All right, John 6, starting with verse 44. John 6, 44. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him and gives him the desire to come to me. And then I will raise him from the dead at the last day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is written in the book of the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Have him in person for their teacher. Woo. Hallelujah. That's, now you know why I like the Amplified. He is Rabboni. He is our teacher. Amen. We're getting personal instruction in the revelation of the Lord. Everyone, this is I'm still in verse 45. Everyone who has listened and learned from the Father comes to me. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and read through 59. Verse 46, which does not imply that anyone has seen the Father, not anyone has ever seen him except he who was with the Father, who comes from God. He alone has seen the Father. I adheres to, trust in, relies on, and has faith in me, has, and now possesses eternal life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life that gives life, the living bread. Your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness, and yet they died. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat of it and never die. Hallelujah. Verse 51, I myself am this living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone am this living bread which came down from heaven, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And also the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh and body. Then the Jews angrily contended with one another, saying, how is he able to give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, you cannot have any life in you, in yourselves, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, unless you appropriate his life and the saving merit of his blood. He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood possesses now eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true and genuine food, and my blood is true and genuine drink. He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood dwells continually in me, and I, in like manner, dwell continually in him. Verse 57, just as the living Father sent me, and I live through because of the Father, even so, whoever continues to feed on me, who takes me for his food and is nourished by me, shall in his turn live through and become because of me, live through and because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. It is not like the manna which your forefathers ate and yet died. He who takes this bread for food shall live forever. He said these things in a synagogue while he was teaching at Capernaum. Amen. Jesus is saying that the life is in him. Amen. In Yeshua. His body and his blood is where the life is. Hallelujah. Feeding on Yeshua is life itself. You know, we live from presence to presence. That's what Hungry Hearts is all about, is seeking God's presence. Amen. And everything good comes down from him. Hallelujah. Learning how to praise, to please God and to obey God, and how to enter into his presence and establish a personal relationship through that experience is what Hungry Hearts is all about. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, a Holy Spirit drought, we would die without it. Amen? You need the Holy Spirit of God. You need the revelation of God. Because a written word without the Spirit applied is not, it's just black on white. But God is the living word, and his revelation knowledge, that's why you need the Spirit and truth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Turn to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Hallelujah. 1 John 2, we're going to read verses 3 through 6. Oh, I'm on the... Okay, sorry about that. First John 2, 3 through 6. And this is how we may discern daily by experience what we are coming to, that we are coming to know him, to perceive, recognize, understand, and become better acquainted with him. If we keep, bear in mind, observe, and practice his teachings, precepts, and commandments. Amen? Amen? If we keep them, if we bear them in mind, if we observe them, if we practice them, his teachings. Amen. Verse 4, whoever says, I know him, I perceive, recognize, understand, and am acquainted with him, but fails to keep and obey his commandments, teachings, is a liar, and the truth of the gospel is not in him. You know, a lot of people, today is a day of uncertainty and people are doubting everything, all authority. But you have to understand, if you can't fall under authority on this earth with the way things are set up, God does everything in order. And everything done in this life points to the future, amen? Yes. Points to him and how he will rule. If you can't take authority, you don't want to be under any church at all, then you're saying to God that you do not accept authority. And if you cannot do it here on earth, how are you going to do it in the future? Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, we're all in the same boat. Keep this in mind, because my last story, we're all, you know, on the USS Hungry Heart. Amen? We're all in the same boat, as it were. And we're all striving for the same destination. And there are, you know, fair havens in between, places of peace, but there's a lot of storms that we have to go through. Amen? I'll get to that when the time comes. Hallelujah. My naval experience has showed me some things. Again, by revelation, by being in the presence of God, is where we learn from Rabboni, our teacher. Amen? Amen? Amen. The Sabbath day, seventh day, is where we begin, because then is when he shows up and meets with us. He is the one that made this day holy. It is a commandment, number four. We have come to learn from him by a revelation of his Holy Spirit while in his presence. Turn to Galatians 1. Galatians 1. We're going to read verses 11 and 12. Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. This is the Amplified. For I want you to know, brethren, that the gospel which was proclaimed and made known by me is not man's gospel, a human invention, according to or pattern after any human standard. For indeed, I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it. It came to me through a direct revelation given by Jesus Christ the Messiah. Hallelujah. Everything we learn is in the Spirit, spending time with God, our teacher, and learning. Amen? And that's how you get a vision. And without a vision, you perish or you cast off restraint. If you don't know who God is, you're going to be confused. You're going to fall into, you're not going to have self-control. Amen? Because you don't, it's just all leads downhill. You know, this world is in a downward spiral financially and morally. There's so much moral decay. And it's because of the things that we have forgotten or not known. Amen? We perish due to lack of knowledge. And I'm here today to affirm the things we've learned in Yeshua, in his presence. And I want you to always remember them, because it is those things that's going to get you to your desired haven. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We learn by studying the scriptures, all the scriptures, amen, the whole Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's go there. 2 Timothy 3:16. This time I'm going to use the regular NIV. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need the Word of God to equip us to do His work, His kingdom work, amen? So that we can tell all these people the truths and affirm, make a declaration to assert to be true, amen? These truths that we've learned. All Scripture. So if you're going to cut off the Old Testament, you're cutting off part of God, amen? And that, you know, that cannot be done. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, I have it memorized. I'll give you a second to get there, but Deuteronomy 29:29. I've quoted this scripture so many times, y'all might have known without even turning there, but it's about the secret things of God. Amen. The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed by him are for us and for our children. Amen? That's basically what, I don't have it, I haven't turned there, but I know that's what it says. The secret things belong to God. There's certain things we're not going to understand. See, man hates that. Man wants to understand everything about God so that he can put him in a box and try to define, put limits on God. And of course, God is there's no borders on God. Amen? He's omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, and all present. Amen. Omnipresent. Hallelujah. So, I get all right. And we need to rightly divide the Word of God. Amen. Rightly divide. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Amen? We're to correctly handle the word of truth. The King James says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I want to get one thing straight right now. It's the devil that divides. God doesn't divide. What God does is he sanctifies. He sets apart holy from common, light from dark, evil from good. He protects his people. Amen. He will divide the land and have people drop in it. He'll divide that because it's dividing evil from good. Amen. Talk to Korah about that, but you won't be able to. God does not divide. The only thing God does is separate evil from good. Amen. The wheat from the tares, the goats from the sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. But see, the devil divides to destroy, where God sanctifies to assure. Amen. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians 6:14, please. Hallelujah. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? I can go on to 15 also. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial or Baal? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as God said, I will live in them, with them, and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Okay, so again, God is separating, sanctifying. That's what being sanctified is, being set apart for holy use. Amen?
Yes.
For holy, not common. Amen. Turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Wait a minute, Coleman. You told me that the word, God, does not divide. Again, he is not dividing. He is getting rid of our bad thoughts. Amen? Separating it. Separating the evil thought. We're to take captive every thought that exalts itself above Christ. Amen? Amen. The way to perfect holiness is to fear God and surrender your ways and walk in the way that Jesus walked. Amen? For 58 years, the devil, the enemy of our soul, divided me from the treasures of our Christian Hebrew roots by slowly, over time, inserting anti-Semitic theologies and anti-Jewish thoughts into the church. As a result, mainline Christianity has been deceived into believing that they are not part of Israel. The rich culture of our Messiah has been lumped into a legalistic, pharisaical system. Time, compromise, idolatry, false worship, traditions of men, and more over time has taken its toll. All of us who are not Jewish, of Jewish blood, or the house of Judah, are Gentiles. Okay, that we accept that. Before acknowledging the lordship of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ, Gentiles were aliens to Israel and the covenants of promise. But now, through the blood of Jesus, we are fellow heirs and of the same body, Israel, and are partakers of his promises. Hallelujah. Turn to Ephesians 2, please. Ephesians 2. Y'all know this stuff, but I'm affirming some things before I get into some more stuff. Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you were, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, that done on the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, everybody say, but now. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. For he himself, our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier dividing the wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law and its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Amen. Okay. People don't realize that the law is not done away with. The curse of the law is done away, and the second death was done away at the cross. But Paul himself kept the law after the crucifixion.
Right.
Amen? That can be found in the Word. In Acts 20 and Acts 14, those two chapters, you can find Scripture. And people think that Paul, you know, Paul was against the law in that people tried to keep the law to gain salvation. We never keep the law to gain salvation. We keep the law because God said to obey him, and he is the one that helps us do it. And he did it not, he fulfilled the law not to, so that we wouldn't have to. He fulfilled the law to show us how, and how through his Father he could do what he did, and how through Yeshua we can do the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just to make sure you all understand that. Turn to Ephesians 3:6. Ephesians 3:6. Hallelujah. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Together with Israel. Members together of one body and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Three times it says together in that verse. Heirs together, members together, and sharers together. Hallelujah. You know, all the people, I'm going to get to that thing today in Reliance Stadium in Houston. We need to really pray that eyes will be opened up. Amen. We're going to get to scriptures that will show that. Hallelujah. You know, the words God of Israel is found in the Bible 201 times. The God of Israel. That should tell us something. How can people be so adamant against Israel? They think they've replaced Israel, but the God of Israel says 201 times in the Word of God. I don't know how they cannot see that. Just read over it. Jesus, Yeshua, is the mediator of the renewed covenant based on better promises made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. If you are not Israel or Judah, you have no covenant. Now that's scary, folks. Amen. We all know the law of God has not been done away. Matthew 5:17 will tell you that. Amen. Matthew 5:17. We learn a lot also by fellowshipping with like believers. Amen. I learn a lot from y'all. Y'all tell me things I didn't know. Even you youngins. Kelly just turned 26. Just turn the numbers around. That's how old I am. So, but I'm still learning things from him. Amen. Age has nothing to do with maturity in Christ. In Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We affirm one another, do we not? We affirm the things we've come to know. And we need each other. We really do. Turn to Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Y'all should know this scripture by heart. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Is not the day approaching? Amen. Now is when we need to really encourage one another, because there is a lot of bad news out there. But the gospel, which I'm bringing you today, is the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is the Word. He is the truth. We learn directly from him by spending time in his presence. And that's what this ministry is all about, is learning to get in the presence of God where we can really be taught. That's where the real teaching. Paul said, let me go on from revelation to revelation. The revelation of God is so awesome. That's why the infilling of the Holy Ghost is so super wonderful, beyond what I can tell you, and you need it. Amen? And it's for you. It's for all. Amen. I'm not going to list everything we believe, but I will hit on the main foundational truths of the things that we have embraced. Amen? The reason I'm not going to say everything we believe and why is because we have books out there on the literature table. They're free, most of them, and you can get those books. You can study the scriptures and study to show yourself approved. Amen? Yeah. Spend time in Yeshua in His presence. Be still and know that He's God. And listen to Him. Talk with Him. He wants a relationship. And all relationships, you talk to one another, do you not? If you're not talking to God, then you don't have a relationship. Amen. That's what prayer is it not? Amen. I just want to confirm some of the things. You know, my old theology cart lost all its wheels. I mean, I'm telling you, things I believed in before have been shot down. It's okay, though. You know, a lot of people are not willing to let go their theology cart go. And I'm going to show you that on board the USS Happy, USS Hungry Heart, you're going to see that we're going to toss those things out. Amen? Some of the things. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to toss out our theology because God is the one who's the theologian. I'll give you four tenets of a God-fearing person. That's what we believe in strongly, is having the four tenets of a God-fear. Being a God-fearer is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? The four tenets of a God-fearer, you know them. Keep the Sabbath, keep the holy days, observe the dietary laws, and tithe. Amen? First and second tithe. So you can go to the feast. We also believe in John 4, 23 and 24. Let's go ahead and go there. John 4. Because this one is the Spirit, and that's what we need. See, Spirit comes before truth in this scripture, you'll find out. It's being in the presence of God that brings you truth. Amen? John 4, 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Okay, so the four tenets of a God-fearer, John 4, 23 and 24, these are the things we believe. We do need to know what we believe in. And we need to know where to find it in the Word so that we can back it up. Amen? And not just one place, but several places. There's more than one witness. Amen? We need to know why we believe these things. We need to find out where they're at in the Old Testament, New Testament, both. They have confirmation because the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Amen? Amen? For those on tape, we've said that many times, but get it in your head. Get it in your head or you are dead. Amen. God doesn't want us doubting or drifting. Amen? God does not want us doubting or drifting. Turn to James 1. I'm going back to the Amplified on this one. James 1. James 1 and verses 6 through 8. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no... Only it must be in faith. This is talking about praying, okay? Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, or doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. Got to hold my dentures in for that one. Hither and thither. Amen. We can be tossed around if we don't know the truth, right? Amen. We need to be assured. We need to have that affirmation of what we believe. All right. Verse 7, for truly let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks from the Lord. Verse 8, for being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Woo! Double-minded. I only have one head. I want to be single-minded. Amen. I want to have the mind of Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Some versions say, let you have the same attitude. You know, if we had the attitude of Christ, there'd be a lot less problems in this world. But our attitude stinks because we have the sinful nature, a lot of us that wants to rise up. Amen. But once you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have him inside of you. You cannot be possessed by the devil, but you can be pressed down and go through some things, some fires, trials, and tribulation. But God in you is your hope of glory. Amen. Your desired haven. Hallelujah. He is our strength. Amen. We are to be merciful to the doubters, though. Turn to Jude 22. Jude. Way in the back. Jude 22. Really a short 6 words. Be merciful to those who doubt. We're to be merciful for all those people that are not sure what they really believe. And I'm going to get into how to witness, ways to witness, which will be a good thing to know. Now we're going to read in Jude verses 17 through 25. And this is called, it's titled, A Call to Preserve in this section of the Word. Jude 17 through 25. But dear friends, remember that the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said of you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Again, I'll stop right there for a second. That proves right there, you don't have the Spirit, you know, you're going to follow your human nature, your own instincts. You're not going to have the attitude of God. You're not going to have the mind of God. You're not going to have revelation from Jesus himself. Amen? But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Right there is telling you there's something to be gained by praying in the Holy Spirit. Not just asking God without the Spirit. You know, everybody's saying, oh, Lord, pay my rent. Oh, Lord, give me a new car. Oh, Lord. They think, you know, material things are what counts. But see, God says man's life does not consist of the things he possesses. Amen? Material things are things you can see. We're supposed to have faith and look for the things we can't see. Amen? Amen. Don't let me get off track here. All right. That was verse 20. 21. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life.
Excuse me. Goodness gracious, I blew my mic off and everything.
I don't sneeze lightly. When I sneeze, I sneeze. Yeah, none of this little pansy stuff. I like to sneeze. I feel better afterward. Of course, your heart stops when you sneeze. Did you know that? Thank the Lord it kept going because I'm living and I'm talking. I'm just trying to get this mic put on, folks. Once I do, then I can talk again. I think my ear fell off. Thank you.
Praise on.
It's hard to see on the side of your head, you know what I'm saying? Amen. So where was I? Keep yourselves in God's love and wait for the mercy of your Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. He will bring us. Amen. And it says the verse I gave you earlier, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, which doesn't mean human fear. It's reverential fear of God. Amen. Mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Folks, we're to hate sin, amen? But love the sinner. All right, here's the doxology, 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Praise God. Isn't the word good? Man, it's good. God is so good. I love all this stuff. I just want to affirm some of the things. You know, but again, I was saying, how we witness to people. Are we merciful to those who doubt? Turn to 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. I'm going back to the Amplified. But in your heart, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. There's times we want to just give people castor oil doses of the word, you know, take this, I know you won't like it, but it's good for you, and slam it down their throat. And that's not the way to do it. Amen. We have to do it in love. You know, there's a lot of holy wars out there. And even with my own family, I want to sometimes rise up and have a holy war right in their living room. But I'm telling you, I have to bring the truth in, how does it say in the Amplified, courteously and respectfully. I need to slow down and let God and the Holy Spirit speak. Because a lot of times I just react instead of respond. Amen? And we need to slow down and respond and not just react. The devil is out there to make us look ugly, make our faces look ugly so we're not smiling and we look like we're hateful people and want to just kill somebody because they don't do the things we do. You know, what we really, the anger rises up is the frustration of trying to bring truths, knowing how good it is for people. But we need to have the joy of the Lord. How we live is going to speak to people much more than the things we say. And, you know, to observe the Sabbath, the holy days, the dietary laws, and tithing, those are the things, if we live them and people see that, they will, you know, say, hey, and look at the joy that guy has. He can't keep that smirk off his face, you know?
Amen.
Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did I finish all that? Yes. Okay. Now we're going to turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2:23-25. I might go through 26. But refuse, this is 2 Timothy 2:23-26. But refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with, trifling, ill-informed, trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questioning. For you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels.
Amen.
Amen. And the servant, the next verse in 24 says how we're to react, to respond, I mean. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing. We're running out of time, though, God. These people got to know it now. We don't have time to play games. They need to know the truth. The truth will set them free. But you know what? Unless God, Yahweh God, draws them to Yeshua, the real teacher, there ain't nothing we can do about it. All we can do is drop the seed and water, but only God will be the one to bring them into hungry hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Forbearing and willing to suffer wrong. I'm sorry, I'm at the wrong thing here. He must be skilled, suitable teacher, patient and forbearing and willing to suffer wrong. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness. Man, these words, you know, patient, forbearing, kindly, courtesy, and gentleness, in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth. That is, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it. Amen. That's a lot. There's a lot of superlatives in this Amplified, I'm telling you, but they're good. Verse 26, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by the devil, amen, where they cannot do God's will. We need to pray that people be set free by getting into the presence of God and knowing God, amen. Here's where the increase comes in. Today, Second Timothy 4, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I'm going to read quickly. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and his kingdom. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it be welcome or unwelcome. You as preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting. But here's how we're to do it. Warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for their own pleasing, gratifying self, they will gather themselves one teacher after another, to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Calm and cool. I'm cool, man. I'm cool. Be calm and cool and steady. Except and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Now, what I'm preaching to you is to be kind, to be gentle, to be patient, all these things. But we are to come against sin. We ain't playing around with sin in the camp, though. You know, you can lovingly speak to people and be patient and everything else. But there are certain things God did not tolerate, nor can we. Amen? So when you're speaking to the devil, you don't have to be so kind. You know, when Jesus spoke to Peter, he was talking to the devil. He wasn't talking to Peter. When he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter knew he wasn't Satan. Peter knew what God was doing. Jesus didn't have to go and say, "Oh, Peter, I'm so sorry for what I said." You know, Peter knew what was going on. He wasn't stupid. Amen. There's times, but we need to do it in the way that we need to do it. Amen. Today, August 6, 2011, there are thousands and thousands of people filling up Reliance Stadium in Houston, Texas, in what they are calling their response, a call for all Christians to come together from all over this U.S. of A. to pray and cry out to God for our nation. You know, our nation is in a holy desperation. Amen? And they need Jesus. They need him in a way that they don't see, and they need to be have their eyes and ears open. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16. I've got to move a little quicker because I want to get into something that the Lord gave me. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen? To stand at the crossroads, that means to be still. To look is to see the options. and your choices. God gives you choice, but look for the ancient paths. Amen. Go to Jeremiah 18:15, just a little farther back. Jeremiah 18:15. Yet my people have forgotten me. You know, there's a lot of people going to Reliance Stadium that really love God. And they haven't forgotten God in so much that they never really knew God in the way they needed to. They weren't introduced to the Hebrew roots and the things that the forefathers set up, the laws of this country based on the Bible. They don't even know that. And then, you know, it's just lack of knowledge. It's not that they don't love God. It's right here, 15. Yet my people have forgotten me. They burnt incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways and in the ancient paths. They made them walk in bypaths and on roads not built up. You know, in Israel, when they lived in cities, over the time, people would build another city on top of that city, and it would make like a mound. It would make a hill. And they called it a tell. And they had bypaths. They had paths that they used that were built up. But what the devil's done is taken us off into bypaths. It's what the scripture's telling us. And not the way that was built up. Not the way that was built on layers, foundations of truth that our forefathers walked. Amen? On roads not built up. They're bypaths. The devil has managed to get them off course. Detours of deception, distraction, and double-mindedness. I thank God that Gene and I found the way, capital T, capital W. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 3, 8 and 9. 1 Thessalonians 3. First Thessalonians 3, 8 and 9. All right. For now we really live. Gene and I are really starting to live now. That's because we're spending more time in Yeshua's presence. Amen. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? You know, this scripture I gave to Pastor Bill about 3 years ago, because God showed me that Bill was, the presence of God was his priority. And because of that, Bill showed me in this faith how to spend more time with God. And that is what has really taught me. I've learned a lot from Bill on a lot of things, Pastor Bill. But I've learned so much from Yeshua, amen, spending time with him. And I thank God for people like Bill who has vision, amen? You know, everybody has to follow somebody. You know, like Bob Dylan's song in 1979, you got to serve somebody. I mean, like I was telling you earlier, if you can't take authority in this life, the Bible even tells us in Ephesians to submit ourselves to the authority of the people, the magistrates and people over us, amen? And there's an order of things. God sets up an order. And God showed me something awesome. And it's in Acts. It's a storm. Amen? Acts 27. Hallelujah. This time, you know, this is where Paul got on board ship, because the Lord told him he was to speak to Rome, to the Roman, amen, emperor. Anyway, the Lord kind of showed me that here is the USS Hungry Heart. I mean, this ship. You know, it talks about fellowship and everything in the Navy I see now correlates. You know, I was telling you earlier, things that we go through in life kind of show you the order of things and how things are supposed to be and how things work. And it gives you lessons, amen? It's like parables. Living out parables. But in Acts 27, it talks about that storm, you know. In verse 1, now when it was determined that we should sail for Italy, they turned Paul and some other prisoners over to a centurion of the imperial regiment named Julius. And going aboard the ship, anyway, verse 1 says they determined that they would go. Amen. Bill, years ago, determined to set out on this voyage with the USS Hungry Heart. Years ago, amen? He was determined. Verse 4, it says that there were winds that were contrary to them. In the end of verse 4 of chapter of Acts 27. And you know, there's been times when the Spirit has not enabled pastor to do certain things. But he's tried. You know, he's been doing this for 20-some years, following the way of God. And the church of God. And he has so much more to teach me and to show all of us. So what better teacher than to follow someone who's actually, if you want to be a millionaire, you talk to a millionaire. You know what I'm saying? You get people that's already achieved it. And Bill's not perfect. I know that. You didn't hear that though, Bill. But anyway, he is just a man. He puts his pants on the same way I do. But you know what? He lets me see God past him. He's not bigger than God. He, you know, I follow him as he follows Christ. If he were to abandon ship, I would not necessarily jump to the sharks myself. But I had already looked for lifeboats to get off the ship. You know, and all these churches are ships, folks. The Lord showed me something. All these ships, you know, there's the USS Fellow, there's a cruise ship, which is what the mainline Christianity is doing, and everybody is captain. Everybody has a captain's hat. And everybody does what they want to. There's no order. It's party hardy. And don't worry about your brother.
That's right.
We'll go where we want to go, when we want to go. And it's kind of like the Titanic. With just man in charge, they think they're going to stay afloat. But they will go down. Amen?
Right.
And I feel sorry. I feel bad. We should have a heart for the lost and want everyone. That's right now in a Reliance Stadium that doesn't know their anchors and their things to hold on to. They need to know that so they won't go down with the ship. Amen? That's why there's so many ships, because everybody wants to be captain. We're all going to the same place, but there isn't several gods. There's only one God. I read to that earlier. There's only one God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let me lose my place here. Verse 7. It says, for a number of days we made slow progress. There's times in this ministry Pastor Bill didn't make hardly any progress, he felt. But you know, it's just like a bamboo plant. Roots were being spread out underneath. You can't see them, but they're all over. And we're like a big bamboo plant, folks. I got news for you. We are on the precipice of the most wonderful. Outburst, move of the Holy Spirit in this nation, and people were going to come running to the truths of God found in His Word, all the Word in the Old Testament, the Torah, the first five books, and all the rest of the books. Amen? The other 57 books. Hallelujah. It says they made slow progress. The wind did not permit us to proceed. There's times Bill wanted to do more stuff. This is verse 7 still. There's times Bill, I know, wanted to do more stuff, but he wanted to please God. And he didn't grow a big beard and join other faiths that might draw more people in. He wasn't into numbers. He was into the number one, Yeshua. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so he was not able to proceed. He went with the Spirit of God. Amen? Verse 8, and coasting along with difficulty. You know, Bill has had a lot of tough times. He has gone in difficulty. But there are places he's gone that are called fair havens in verse 8. There are times when there's been peace, amen? But the devil is out to kill us, destroy us. But we will not be destroyed, amen?
Amen.
Verse 9, it says, the day of atonement. You know, I'm going to read verse 9. But as the season as well advanced, for much time had been lost and navigation was already dangerous, for the time for the fast, the day of atonement, about the middle of September, had already gone by. Paul warned and advised them. The devil's going to try to make you miss the holy days of God by keeping you in the storm, keeping you where you can't go. But you know what? We can't get ahead of God. His wind that moved that ship, there's times when we just have to let God do it, amen? We've got to stay on board ship. All right, verse 11. However, the centurion paid greater attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to Paul. Paul was telling him, there's going to be some bad things happening, you know? But what it's saying here is the greater captain, El Elyon, is who took precedence over what Bill may have done that or said going into a storm or something, but God was in charge the whole time, amen? Verse 12, the majority favored the plan of putting at sea again. You know, there's been starts and restarts, but this ship, this USS Hungry Heart, is going to Yeshua, going to that destination where we're always with God. Amen? It says in verse 13, so when the south wind blew softly, supposing they were gaining their object, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, hugging the coast. To weigh an anchor means to take it up. To weigh anchor means you're taking the weight of your anchor. We need to take those things, not the weight of this world, but the anchors that keep us from being just blown off the ship, amen? So we need to take on those things that will hold us firm, you know? And then the story, the ship doesn't make it, you know? As far as buildings and things, doesn't make it, but the people do. And the pieces, it says that, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to go with the story here. Amen. They took anchor, they weighed anchor and sailed, but soon afterward a violent wind, the character of a typhoon called the Northeaster, came bursting down from the island. You know, right now I'm in a mind storm. You know, the devil, we are so patterned to come against authority, we are so patterned to all be our own man and all this, that the pride of man wanting to rise up and be captain. There's only one captain, commander-in-chief, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is Lord of all. He is our main captain. And I am under the captainship, or the shepherd, Bill Schultz, Pastor Bill Schultz. I am what they call an executive officer, okay? I am next under, but I'm not to be like an executive secretary. I'm just supposed to take notes. And I have people under me. You know, the XO was the next in line over the captain on board our ship. And there was a time when that XO knew he was his own ship. Okay, but see, sometimes we want our own ship now. While we're on board ship with the captain, the XO may want to say, well, I know better than you. Just like Satan came against God and said that he wanted to be captain. We know what happened to him, don't we? And you know, mutiny is the greatest. It is really bad. I read the book Mutiny on the Bounty, and Britain went out of their way for years and years hunting down every one of those that caused the mutiny. And God does not like us to rise up. And I'm guilty. I am so patterned of this world that, you know, I step on the other guy to get ahead. I've been a leader in religion and the faith that I've been in. I've been a leader. Okay. Satan uses that. Hey, Coleman, you could do a better job than Pastor Bill. And you know what? I can't. I was just telling you, he's been in this how many years? And he has tried to please God and do the right thing. And I need to see that and recognize that and honor that and be under him. Until such time as I get my own vision and I become captain, I am to be an executive officer helping him with this ship to get us to the desired haven. Amen? Amen. And I will not allow a mutiny to rise again. We have, in the Navy, we had commissioned officers. When a ship went out of service. It was decommissioned. Let's read our commission. Turn to Matthew 28:20. Matthew 28:20. Lord, help me finish this. But we have a commission from God, amen? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Let me stop right there. It doesn't say go and tell people to say, I love Jesus and I'll follow him. That's it. It says go and make disciples. The word disciple has the root word discipline in it. And it's important to say with your mouth and believe in your heart, God is Lord, and say it. But until you actually live it, the lifestyle of a hungry heart or a lifestyle of a God-fearing person who believes in John 4:23-24, who believes in these things that I'm affirming to you today, unless they believe that, they're just mouthing words. They do not know. God says, get away from me. I don't know you. You need to know God. That's why the presence of God is so paramount in this ministry. And the devil is trying so hard to get me to rise, you know, in mutiny on board ship. Because that destroys everything. The captain, the man who's in charge, who's up at the high. You know, the captain's up on the mast. He's up at the top. Some guy in the border room, the coolie, the guy, you know, I'm an old salt, okay? I'm an old man. I'm older. I'm over a decade older than Pastor Bill. But I'm just an old salt on board. I think I know more than him because after all, I've been on this ship a long time, brother. You think you're captain? Hey, I can be captain. My real place is to be submissive to the authority that God sets up. And I struggle with this. But I'm telling you, mutiny will not rise again. You can put me out on the plank and push me off, handcuffed, so I can't swim. That's what they did. They tied you behind your hands like this. They threw you in. They let the sharks take care of you. It wasn't fun. I've never been there, thank God. But that's what I deserve if I rise up against the anointed of God. And look how many angels Satan took with him. How many people would I have taken with me had I continued to stay away and gotten hungry? I was looking for lifeboats to get off of the USS Hungry Hearts. It talks about that in this story too. Everything in this. In verse 16 it said they had much difficulty. You know, there's so many storms. Pastors had trouble. Verse 18 says they threw the freight overboard. The Lord showed me that is sin in your life. Verse 18, they threw the freight overboard. That's the sin of your life. Verse 19, they threw the furniture off. That's the ties with your family, the things you're familiar with, your comfortable couch that you love. Throw it overboard. If it won't make you make it, throw it overboard. You have to love God more than your family, and that hurts. Because there's people that you get close to, but if you get close to Yeshua HaMashiach, he will be your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, whatever you're lacking. All the fullness of the Godhead lies bodily in Yeshua HaMashiach. He is your family. He is family, and he's all about him. It's all about a home, land, and a family. He's going to get us to the other side on board USS Hungry Heart. Amen? Let's not abandon ship. And verse 20 says, they abandon all hope. There's times I'm sure Pastor has said, I'm tired of all these storms. You know, we've thrown everything out, but we ain't going to make it. Just forget it. No, he had a visitation from God. He spent time, God talked to him. And what did God say? Verse 22, there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Hallelujah. You know, the church, the buildings are going to go down. But the people on board ship that are submissive to authority of God will make it. Amen. Verse 24, it is necessary for you to stand before Caesar. And behold, God has given you those who are sailing with you. You know, Pastor Bill has a vision where he wants, you know, up and down the 45 corridor and across east and west and the other states, you know, in the southwest, southeast. He has that vision, amen? God, don't help me with this, Lord Jesus. Hold on, Abba. But God has given Pastor Bill Schultz, the people under him, to help him, amen, not to rise in mutiny, amen. Together is how we make it, amen. We need each other. Verse 25, you keep your courage, men, for I have faith, complete confidence in God, that it will be exactly as he has told me. Pastor Bill has not wavered from the things God has told him while he's been in the presence of God. I admire him for that. There's things he should have let go of, you know, probably, I think, or you think. But I'm telling you what, he is not swerving. You know, and he is a good example of a father and a husband. See any irregularities in how he brought his children up or how he treats his wife. I respect that. Amen. I've been through the big D, most of us have, and it's ugly. And that's the devil dividing things that are founded by God. Again, God divides. Only the devil divides. Only God divides by separating us, evil from good. He sanctifies. He helps us. Amen. Verse 29. Then fearing that we might fall off course into rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and kept wishing for daybreak to come. Folks, it says, then fearing that they might fall off course. Those anchors are the four tenets of a God fear. The Lord showed me that. We need those things. You know, they threw them overboard and they were drug along, but it kept them from being destroyed. Amen. It kept them on course, even though they were, while on course, a little bit off course as the wind beat them around and everything. Amen. Verse 30. There are people that, and as the sailors were trying to escape secretly from the ship. Oh. Lord help us. And lowering the small boats into the sea, pretending that they were going to lay out anchors from the bow. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless you stay with the four anchors of a God-fearing person, you will be taken off course. You will not make it to the desired haven. Hold on, I tried to escape, get off. I tried to take the lifeboat, and it would have been a disaster. What chance would I have had by myself out there? I might have taken two or three guys. We'd lasted how long in an ocean? How many other ships are already out there thinking they're the ship that has everything they need? I don't want to be on board the USS Cruise Funny Time, Party Time boat when I need to be on my way to the desired haven, to be with Yeshua HaMashiach forever and forever. Le'olam, amen. Amen. The devil wants us out, wants us dead, wants us eaten by sharks, wants us gone, wants us to quit, wants us to drop out, wants us to rise up against the ministry. This is not something that just this church is experiencing. I got news for you. The world conditions us to be rebellious, and it. Thank you. I'm at that age. I need help with words. Where it conditions us to be rebellious, and to be not caring, and to just que sarah sarah, whatever will be wrong. Complacency is not good. We need direction. We need leaders. We need a purpose. We need a plan, and then that is only in what we believe. That's why I'm affirming what we believe. Verse 38. And after they had suffered and after had eaten sufficiently, they proceeded to lighten the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. The Lord showed me that is the theologies. Okay, the word that's not good. So the first thing they threw overboard was freight. That's your sin. The second one is furniture. That's ties with your family. And the third thing they threw overboard was wheat, which is bad food. Amen? Your theology. Verse 40. So they cut the cables and severed the anchors and left them in the sea. You know, wait a minute. Those are the four tenets of faith. They cut them away. You know, we have to leave those things in the sea and the deep. Deep calls unto deep. People have to find it for themselves. Amen. We cannot make people understand this. It's only by the Yahweh God, the Father, showing us by the Spirit of God in God's presence what the heck is going on. They have to dive and they have to get those truths so that they can take weigh anchor and not be blown off course. Amen. Amen. They cut the cables and severed the anchors and left them in the ship, in the sea, I'm sorry. At the same time, unlashing the ropes that held the rudders. You know, people have got their rudders tied in one position, and that's straight to hell. Unless you untie that rudder and let the Holy Spirit direct you in the way you should go and not lock your rudders on destruction, then God can guide you. Amen? You know, it says, by striking a cross current, a place open to two seas, they ran the ship aground. You know, that the Lord showed me that it's a sand barge. I've had those in the Navy. It'd be deeper than heck. But if there was a cross current coming through, it would build up the land. It would build up the land where you couldn't get through. It would make it narrower. Amen? Well, these sand barges are just distractions by the enemy. Amen. But they struck fast on this sand barge. They remained unmovable. There's times when the church is just stuck. They can't get out. And the stern starts to break up. The back of the ship is a stern. And a violent wind. But it says in verse 43 that they threw themselves overboard first and made for the shore. And the rest on heavy boards of pieces of the vessel. There are things in all faiths. There are things of all faiths. All churches have good things. Those are those heavy boards. But the full truth is what you need. But sometimes people just make it on the full, those heavy boards of truth that they have in their faith. They don't have the things that we have in Hungry Heart. But they have enough to get them to safety. Amen. Enough to get them in. Well, but we want to go, amen? We want to go with God and not go through so much trouble in the seas, amen? We love it when the seas are calm, do we not? But God, and it will be one day. This turbulence will go away. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you, God, that you are our chief executive officer, our commanding officer of all commanding officers, and that you desire to bless us, that we'd all be with you in glory. God, thank you that you are in charge, helping us to see the order of things and how we are to be in order to experience you. Hallelujah. Bless this time, Lord, the rest of this Sabbath day. May it honor you in Yeshua's name. Amen.